it's time for Central Iowa Today. Here's Ken Hughey.
Good afternoon, and we welcome you to Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM. If it's Friday in November, let's see, the capital campaign for the United Way is going on, so it must be United Way Friday, and we are going to talk with a couple of representatives of two of the 28 organizations that are supported by your United Way donations. Matter of fact, just as an update, the capital campaign, the goal is $800,000. They're about halfway there. As of this morning, they had raised $398,610. Joining us today to talk about their agency and how they work together and how the United Way works for them, we welcome in Natalie Andrade. Now, I see I messed it up, didn't I?
Yes.
So tell me, how do you say your last name again?
Andrade.
Andrade. Thank you so much. I knew I'd do that as soon as next. I've got Chad's name down. Chad Hammer is also with us with the House of Compassion. Natalie is with Alexito. And, you know, we did a coin flip, and unfortunately Chad lost, so he gets to go first and all of that. So, hey, it's good to have you both here. And Chad from the House of Compassion, you're keeping busy out there, but for those who may not know as much about the House of Compassion as they might like, to tell us about the House of Compassion. What are you doing there?
Sure. You know, we're probably best known for our evening meal. We call it our soup kitchen, which is six nights a week. It's all volunteer-driven, which is fantastic. They prepare the meals. They serve the meals. We're serving about 1,250 meals per month. So at the end of this year, we're going to probably do a little over 14,000 meals, which is, and it's volunteer-driven. It's just fantastic. So we're best known for that. But we're also doing some other things. You know, we have what's called our supply closet, where people can come in once a month, get a few toiletries. We also help with maybe utility bills or, we even help with tuition payments for English as a second language. And in fact, by the end of this year, we'll have paid for 12 people to go through there.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's...
That's it. I'm familiar with the House of Compassion. I've been an occasional volunteer there over the years. But I didn't realize you did tuition for ESL.
Yeah, we have. We haven't done a very good job of letting people know that. But we've been doing it for quite a while. But I think this might be one of the years where we actually have double digits of people. And I think we're going to have even more people because we have an incentive program to help them stay in it as long as they need to reach their goals. But the thing I'm really excited about, and, you know, I thank you again. I was on earlier this week with Kyle, our new jobs program, which is we have a lot of folks that come to us for services, and they're not working. And we're going to get to the root cause of why that is and help them. You know, we're hooked up with Iowa Valley, Iowa Works, and TLC Associates, and we're going to try and sit down with these folks and find out really what the issues are. Let's overcome them and get them into work.
How many regulars do you have, do you think, that come for the evening meal? Because I know it always changes.
Sure,
you know, there's always the turnover, just like in anything. But there are some regulars, and I know that there's probably some factions in the community that go, well, you know, there's some that don't want to work, but yeah, I think your jobs program is an example of let's give them an opportunity to prove us right or wrong.
Absolutely. As far as the number of regulars, I'll answer it this way. It's kind of tough to know with the soup kitchen, but I can tell you that we're averaging about 12 new families a month through our assistance programs, which we call client services. Early in the year, we were helping about 275 people. We're up over 400 now.
Wow.
And so there is quite a majority of those that actually aren't working. You know, and if it's disability or something like that, that's a whole different story. But, I think one of the big steps is it's going to fall on us before they would even go to one of the other organizations that I mentioned, is to find out that there is someone across the table that actually cares enough to try and find what the real issues are and to help them solve them. So I think that's the biggest wall that's going to need to be knocked down, is maybe someone just saying, hey, we're here to help give you hope.
And also, you know, you never know in that situation what kind of hidden talent you'll uncover.
Exactly. That's one of the things that the reason we're hooked up with these other organizations is they're very good at sitting down and talking with folks and finding out what those hidden talents are, mm-hmm. or what their dream might have been. And, you know, it's just been too many years, and maybe we've all had a dream we kind of gave up on, but you should never do that. So it's really, the partnership is pretty exciting, to the point they're even going to have office hours at our facility. To meet with folks where they're probably a little more comfortable. So it's just a matter of just getting them comfortable enough to start sharing things and then taking it from there.
Well, with all those meals that the House of Compassion serves, and again, it's volunteer-driven. They make the meals. They serve the meals. But the food is also another element, and a lot of that is donated, if not all of it.
Well, no, we actually purchase a lot
of
the food, but we do, just to give you a great example, we all know the cost of food is rising, mm-hmm. and I'm here to tell you it's really, it is really true.
I bet you're seeing
it is really true.
Yeah.
And so we put on Facebook that we were not going to purchase any desserts anymore, mm-hmm. you know, just as a way of trying to save some cost. We actually have the issue right now. We have so many homemade desserts that people have brought. We're actually probably going to have to put people on a schedule to do that. So it's just, well, it speaks to the generosity of this community. It really does.
And I know that I'm sure you probably still get questions, but, you know, the House of Compassion is evolving past being an overnight stay for those who may be homeless. You're still serving the homeless in other ways. It's just that it's just evolved to the point where that's not being, you're not able to provide that anymore.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
And that's really the only reason this jobs program came about, was because when I got here, that's when we discovered that we were going to have to go a different direction. And we knew we had the capacity to. We had the staff, we had the volunteers. And so really it's worked out well, because this jobs program, we hopefully can get to people at a foundational level to where they're not going to need that sort of service in the future anyway.
How are you when it comes to volunteers? Could you always use a few more?
We could always use a few. Always.
Silly question.
No. It just like everyone, we could always use more volunteers. But I tell you, especially with the soup kitchen, probably an average of 130 volunteers a month. Mm-hmm. We have folks that come and help us in the supply closet. That's really volunteer driven as well. Yes, that's always, anyone who's maybe interested in even just finding out what kind of opportunities we might have, please give me a call, because we'd love, especially younger people, mm-hmm. love it when they come in and help serve the meal. It's just great. They have such a good time. It's just a different energy. The laughing and the joking and the talking, it's really great.
It's Chad Hammer with the House of Compassion, and we're going to turn our attention now for the next few minutes to Alex Zito and visit with Natalie about that. So, Natalie, for those who may not be familiar with Alex Zito, what is Alex Zito?
Alex Zito is a nonprofit organization in Marshalltown, Iowa, and 16 other counties that wants to see academic advancement and leadership capacity in Latinx youth and families through transformative opportunities. Their mission is to see Iowa prosper in Latinx excellence.
And so this is focused towards students.
Yes.
Basically, right?
Yes, and families.
So how many people are participating now in your program, approximately?
Yeah. Well, it changes every week, but we get huge numbers, and the class is filled up each week.
So what kind of services, what kind of things are you offering to these young people?
Okay. Alex Zito has a leadership program ranging from 6th grade to 12th grade. We have a middle school after-school program, Alex Zito Movimiento program, high school. We have two new college programs, a senior scholar program, summer camps, and college trips.
So how did you get involved? What is your, for lack of a better term, your position or your title when it comes to Alex Zito?
Well, I'm just like anybody. I'm like a student leader part. I show up to the clubs. I am very engaged and part of their activities and their opportunities as well.
How did you first become involved with it?
Well, it started freshman year. I was really interested in the club and what they had to offer, because I've never seen a club offer for Latinx, and it just felt like a community I could be part of.
So what is there a misconception about those who come to Alex Zito? Is it one of those situations where there's some safety and some help in the network for those who come to be a part of it, or is it some? Is it help with schoolwork? I mean, is there some misconceptions about what Alexito does?
Can you explain that question a little bit more?
Well, I mean, is it? Let me ask you this: is anybody welcome for this?
Yes, everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
It's just not for the Latino community.
Yeah, it's for anybody who wants to come.
Anybody who wants to come, and I think that needs to be. Yeah. We want to make sure we get that out, and I was not trying to make sure that there were some issues and all that. But
for sure.
But anything. So what made you decide to take a leadership role in Alexito?
Well, I think it's Alexito support that really makes students want to be leadership, that want to be engaged in these activities. Like, I never would have imagined myself speaking right now on the radio or taking this opportunity right now. And I think that just shows that there is students in leadership happening.
And how important is it to have those students in leadership? I know that you talk about leadership of all different kinds. You have leadership with teachers, you have leadership with staff. You have community leaders, but how as important is it for you and the other students to gain some of that experience?
I think it's really important. Like, we're always told that we were going to inherit the earth, and that is true. And we want to be strong leaders when that happens. And we can start as early as this age. I'm starting a co-founding branch of Alexito called Mujeres, and with some of my friends. And that just shows how, by United Ways funding and Alexito's support, how change can happen.
Well, what a great way to make that transition into, because I wanted to ask you, and then I'll be asking Chad too, how important is the funding that you receive from the Marshalltown Area United Way to be able to have Alexito and be able to provide some of the services and opportunities that you do?
Yeah, well, it's so important. With how much Alexito has helped students and families, it couldn't have happened without all the donors and United Way's funding and support as well.
Now, is the United Way the main source of funding for Alexito? You don't know that? Okay.
I'm not sure.
That's fine. What do you hope to do with what you have been learning? You said you started as a freshman. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to do with what you're learning and what you're experiencing right now as you look down the road for you?
Yeah, well, I want to continue being a strong influence in this community. Eventually, when I develop all my skills and assets, I want to be able to contribute back to this community and be part of Alexito helping students again.
All right. Let's ask Chad Hammer that. How important are the funds from the Marshalltown Area United Way, funded by donations, are to what you do for the community?
Well, it's crucial. Like, I want to echo some of those comments. I mean, it's over 5% of our budget. And, you know, we talked about the food cost. Well, that's one thing that's supported with this. And, you know, it really would, you know, we just did our budget. We talked about our budget just last night, and we were looking at this year. It really is. It is crucial. I mean, it's helping us to not only serve the nutritious meals 6 nights a week, but also it gets people involved in the community, which is always a good thing. You know, they also, with the tuition payments, the money from United Way goes for that. This is my first go-around as a United Way agency,
so I'm
learning as I go, but it didn't take me very long to figure out that they are really a key part of what all of us are doing.
And again, these are just two organizations of the 28 that are funded by your contributions to the Marshalltown Area United Way. And the one thing you know about the United Way here is that your donations stay in the community. 98.5%, I believe, is the latest figure. So when you donate to the United Way, you help make it happen in this community. Natalie Andrade?
Yes.
I got it right that time. Thank you. With Alexito and Chad Hammer, the House of Compassion, continued success to both of your organizations. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you,
Kim, so much for having us.
And we thank you for being with us on Central Iowa Today here on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.